clap our hands one more time for Jesus. Truly what the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I want us to thank God for our man of God, our pastor. Can we put our hands together for Pastor Connor? Come on. I said it this morning and it bears reiterating. The Bible says, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor. That the hallmark of real leadership is not preaching. It is not their ability to even expound on the word of God, but it is their ability to rule well, to manage the things of God. And as we look at this wonderful church and to see how the Lord has blessed, certainly it gives testament to his, amen, ability to rule well. And so I know we've clapped before, but the Bible said double honor. So let's praise God again. For him. Come on in, his lovely wife. We honor the Lord for First Lady. Bless the name of the Lord. You need a wife and not a knife if you're going to do ministry. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so we thank God for good help. Amen. In ministry, because it can cause the men of God's journey to be quite cumbersome when you have to toil at home. Amen. And then war for the people as well. So, amen. We thank God for her helping him to make his job easy. Clap again for her. Praise the Lord. You see his mother here. I was able to meet her in the back. Such a jewel and such a precious gift. Can we clap our hands for mother? Amen. She's an awesome one. My friend Pastor Polo is the reason why I'm connected today to such a wonderful group of people here in this wonderful church. I want us to thank God, because you're going to need somebody to speak on your behalf at some point in life. Amen. And so let's thank God for him being a door on today. I honor you. I appreciate you and your wife. Amen. And thank God for this wonderful time of fellowship. Let's give our streaming audience a hand. People have been texting me saying, I'm watching. The Lord is moving. We're going to go into the word. Now, the first service today, you know, I have preached in churches with multiple services, and it is normal for me to repeat the same message. But I'm not coming as a pastor this morning. I'm coming as a prophet. So there's a different people in here today in this service, and there's something different God wants to say to you. Is that all right? Amen. And so on this morning at 9 o'clock, we talked about a divine shift. And now the Lord spoke to me in the back. He said, this is not for that crowd. I want you to feel what's in this 11 o'clock service. He said, it's a different people. And I want you to go to the book of Acts, chapter number 12. In Acts chapter number 12. Amen. There is a word from the Lord for you. Didn't that choir sing so awesome? My God, what are my steps in your word? In Acts chapter number 12, I want to commence reading. I want to commence reading from verse number 10. When you have it, say amen. 12 and 10. But tonight we're going to have an amazing time, so you need to come tonight. Amen. It'll give me a chance to pray and labor with you and lay hands, and we're going to see some miracles tonight. Oh, y'all not expecting. We're going to see some miracles tonight and some breakthrough in this place. Amen. In a major way. So, amen. We want you to get here. Also, I do have a book that we had, that I wrote and I released at the beginning of this year, and I had stopped the release for a period of time, and we sold so many copies earlier on in the year, and this past month I brought it back. So it's entitled Teach Me How to Pray. Teach Us How to Pray. Where the disciples asked Jesus that question, Master, teach us how to pray. And so it kind of goes over some of the the format for how to really engage and tap into God. So you can stop by the table after service, and I only have a few copies, a minimal amount of copies. So if you want to grab one, grab one. All right, in Acts 12 and in verse number 10, you can keep that music playing so softly for me as I read. The Bible says, when they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood at the gate. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. Let it transition us, shift us, transpose us even into another place in you. We give you praise for a major move in this service. In Jesus' name we pray, everybody say amen. I want you to just touch somebody next to you and say, hey neighbor, the prophet has a word for you today. And the word from the prophet is, your answer has been released. This is only for those of you that's been expecting God to do something. I'm going to give you one more chance. I said your answer, ho, has been released. Shout glory in this place. Woo, hallelujah. We thank God on today. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. The Bible says in the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. Tell somebody, I'm glad I'm in this service this morning. I'm telling you, there is something, amen, that God wants to reveal to us on today, amen, that I believe he's going to use to shift us into another dimension. One thing I have learned about God is that God is strategic in how he deals with us, that he doesn't just do a thing. Everything that happens is purposeful. In fact, it had already been done before you got here. He is the God that speaks those things that be not as though they were. So in all actuality, we live in the past of God. I need somebody to just meditate on that for a moment. And that's why when Moses said, Lord, let me see your face, in essence what Moses was saying, let me see what you have in the future or what you have in store for us. And God said, no man can see my face and live. So he hid him in the cleft of the rock and passed by him and showed him his past. That what I've already done is so powerful that if you grasp that, it'll blow your mind. Y'all don't hear this in here. In other words, you're already healed. You're already delivered. You already are walking in divine favor. It is the trick of the enemy to make you think you're not where God has told you to be or not walking in what God has called you to walk in. The problem is not if God is going to do it. The question is, can you acknowledge or will you be spiritually aware when it manifests? He's the God that speaks those things that be not as though they were. We live in the past of God. Everything he said, hallelujah, will be, is. Everything he said shall be, will be. In fact, his spirit causes our reality to align even when our reality contradicts his word. If God says this church is purple, by the time you look again, it becomes what he says. I need you to catch that in here. Because he's not moved by your sense of reality. The book of Titus said, God who cannot lie. That means it is outside of his essence to even be able to lie. He's so much truth that what looks like a lie to you is truth to God. Oh, y'all don't hear this in here. And see, what the enemy doesn't want you to understand is that healing is already in your body. Deliverance is already in your home. Come on here. Can I get a witness in here? Breakthrough is already on your family. But he wants to keep you stuck, glory to God, in a mindset that God is going to do something that he's already done. And I want to stop right here and do a station identification break and see if I can find some believers right here for 10 seconds that is finally at a place in your life where you understand everything that I've been asking God to do is already done. Let me hear you. Go. 10, 8, 7. I can't hear you. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Just pass it down your road. 3 people. It's already done. It's already done. It's already done. It's already done. Hey, hey, hey. It's already done. Can I get a witness in here? I said it's already done. Tell him the whole. It's already done. Because it is where we begin to understand, glory to God, that if God has already done it, I can celebrate him for it. The worst place to be is to be where God was. You don't want to be where God was. You want to be where God is. Here's why he told Joshua when Moses died. He said, Joshua, I say unto you, Moses, my servant is dead. Arise and take this people over this Jordan. In other words, he says now, I don't want you to spend another night crying over Moses. Moses is dead. And if some of us don't come to the understanding that the past, hallelujah, or what we saw no longer exists, we're going to be loyal to a grave, loyal to a season that has expired. Y'all quiet in here right now. See, some of you, you're depressed because you're still upset with what didn't work. Get over it. The enemy wants you stuck in a moment. And the best way to come into a new moment is to change the moment. Buy yourself some flowers. Take yourself out to eat. And say, I'm having a bad moment, but I gotta change my atmosphere.
God have mercy.
To create a new moment. Tell somebody, get ready to create a new moment. Now I know that's a tough reality. I'm a counselor. I'm a licensed counselor. And I know that's a tough reality for many of us to accept the fact when someone tells you, get over it. Because there are some things that have happened that seems insurmountable. Seems as though we just can't get over it. But what you cannot do in your own flesh, the Holy Ghost. Lord, when I talk about him, I feel a quickening in my spirit. I said the Holy Ghost will give you power to do what you could not do on your own. Oh, can I get a witness, somebody? And so the worst place to be is to be where God was. You don't want to be stuck trying to relive a season. Relive an old moment that a lot of people who are depressed because they're angry with what didn't work. They're frustrated with what didn't happen. Some people are mad with God and are boycotting the church because they're mad with God. Because he didn't heal your mother or because he let somebody close to you die. God have mercy. But you must understand, God has the master plan. Don't you know sometime, and I don't know why I'm going there, but I gotta go there for a second. Sometime God will take people to save them. I don't know why I'm going there, but I gotta go there. Oh, I can't hear anybody. Sometime God will take them to save. He said, this is as clean as they're going to be. If I don't take them now, they're going back to the street. If I don't take them now, he's going to go back to whoremongering. If I don't take her now, y'all quiet it here. And sometime you just got to accept it. I don't know who this is for, but somebody's been stuck in grief. And God said, today I need you to embrace the fact that I have the master plan. It hurt, but praise me anyway. With tears in your eyes, celebrate me anyway. He said, for in all things, give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. And so people are stuck. And it takes a divine spirit to move us from what we feel and what seems to be reality to bring us into spiritual reality. Spirituality. If you stay stuck in your reality, you'll never get over this. If you stay stuck in your reality, you're gonna be ready to fight everybody you come into contact with. If you stay stuck in your reality, you will never feel as though you can make it and come through. But spirituality always trumps reality. Lord, I wish I had a witness. And this is why we're trying to get people in the body of Christ. This is why we tell you to come to prayer. This is why we tell you to come to church. It's not just for extracurricular activities. We're trying to switch you to the divine nature. Oh, come on here. Can I get a witness in here? We're not just gathering because we don't have anything else to do. We're not just gathering because we need somewhere to go on Sunday morning. We could be at brunch. We could be doing something else. But it is an assignment from God to switch you from your reality into the spirit. And the spirit of the Lord says some of you have been fighting the switch, but you better tell God yes this morning, because what he's about to do in your life, I have not seen. Ear hath not heard. Neither has it entered into the heart of God. Have mercy. I want 25 people to go up in a high praise for the surprise of your life. Go. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. I feel a shift. 3. I feel a shift. 2. I feel a shift. Tell your neighbor sitting next to you. Tell him you haven't seen the best of me. The best. Tell him my best days are ahead of me. Tell him my best days are ahead of me. Matter of fact, while I'm in here, there's a new version of me emerging. I hear the Lord say, you're in this place and he's updating you today. Oh, hey, glory! Will you do this for me? I need you to prophesy to the person standing next to you and tell them, I see you in your future. And everything about you looks better than it does right now. If they didn't praise him, I dare you to shout and get their miracle. Praise them till you get their breakthrough. Praise them till you get their healing. Shout! Everything about you is changing. And this is what the warfare has been about. The enemy has you fighting the end of you. When God got ready to bless Job, he had to bring Job to the end of himself. And some of you are fighting the ending. But I come to tell you, don't fight the ending. Don't fight the closing. I know you can't recognize who you are becoming. You feel different. Come on here. Your taste buds have changed. But God said it is because I'm working on another you. That's a greater you.
That's what he told them in Jeremiah. He said, Israel have I created. Jacob have I created. Israel have I formed. Same person, two different versions. Because God said, when I get ready to shift you, I gotta update the version of who you are. I created you, but I've been forming another you. Some of you, you're not in transformation. You're not even in restoration. You are in reformation. He is I wish I had 29 people in here that would thank God for the reformation. He's reorganizing me, reconfiguring me, recharging me, restoring me, reviving me, rebuilding me. Everything about me is being renewed. Say ya!
So, God has to prepare them. Because when God equips you, he not only equips you for the success, but he equips you for the attack. I gotta get somebody to understand that. Anointings attracts attacks. If you don't want to have to endure some warfare, then you're not ready to get anointed. Because the moment God touches you to do something for him, the enemy is going to get upset with you. And the Spirit of the Lord just spoke to me. He said, run that back. Because he says, even if I don't anoint you, but I call you into me, you have become a threat to the enemy. Paul said, I was the chief of sinners. You think the enemy just going to let you go? You were the best liar he had. Couldn't nobody out. Come on, let's be honest. Come on. You were the best weed head he had. You think he's just gonna let you go? Oh, y'all don't want it. He's not letting you go without a fight. He's fighting you because he wants you back. I want to talk to some people. Have you ever been chasing by an ex-lover who you just don't want to deal with? That's how the devil is. He's after you because he knows you're the best thing he ever, y'all quiet in here. He lost a good thing when he lost you. Tell somebody, I know the enemy is mad with me. He's mad because I won't do his bidding anymore. He's upset because I left him and joined up with God. I wish I had about 100 people that would show the devil, nah, 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 you lost me. Woo! And there'll never be another like me. Hallelujah. That's why when we praise God, he gets upset. Why are you praising God like that? I was good. No, you tried to kill me. But Jesus said, I passed by you and I saw you choking on your own blood, but I told you to live. You should have died in the crack house. If you would have gotten high one more time, you would have lost your mind, but I kept you. I gotta go. I got 19 minutes on the clock right now. But the Lord said, tell everybody in here, praise him for your own release. He had to let me go. I said, he had to let me go. I said, he had to let me go. And here's the catch. I ain't never going back. Woo! I might go left, I might go right, but I'm not going. Only way
The Lord is telling me some of you, the streets been after you. Your past has been trying to reach for you. Y'all quieted here. But you are too far gone now. It would take you more to go back than it would be to keep going to your promise. Tell somebody, I'm too far gone now. I got too much skin in the game now. I'm not backsliding. The devil is a lie. I might have a bad moment. I might have a bad minute. But baby, I'm not going back to the thing that tried to break me.
So watch this. It's going to take a power greater than us. So the Bible says in the book of Acts, he tells them, go to Jerusalem and I want you to wait there until you be endowed with power from on high. In other words, he tells them that you've seen me do miracles. You've seen me lay hands on the sick. You've seen me cast out devils, but you can't do what I did based on sight. Because proximity doesn't always give you access. Let me that. You ever seen people, they think because they close to you or around you that they know you? You don't know me. Or don't get me talking about people on Facebook who think because, man, somebody call me on I don't even know you. What you calling me on Messenger? But people think they know you because they've been around you. Oh, y'all quieted here. And Jesus tells the disciples, the only way you're going to be able to do what I do, you're going to have this same spirit on you. He said, go to Jerusalem. Don't lay hands. Don't cast out a devil. Don't try to do anything until you get this spirit on you. We call it the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. He said, wait until you be endowed with power. I need you to just point to somebody and say power. Not energy. I know we're in a day where people want to use crystals. We got this new thing, love and light. Light, no. That's just undercover terminology to conceal your witchcraft. Because the Bible said, in him is the fullness of the Godhead. If I say Jesus, everything. I don't need no crystal. You don't need to burn sage. Y'all come on here. Y'all say, I didn't come for this. But see, you can't get the anointing and get power with God the right way if it's contaminated with strange gods. Oh, I can't hear anybody in here. Oh, I can't hear anybody in here. I can't hear anybody in here. And this is why you have to be careful, even you single people, who you date. Because you can be dating somebody that don't believe like you believe. They say, oh yeah, I go to church. But she got crystals under the couch. Oh, y'all. Waiting to trap you. God have mercy. We're in a day where people have multiple gods. They serving God and burning sage. Come on, can I get a witness? They worshiping God and using their crystals. I need the energy. Get the Holy Ghost. Oh, I can't hear anybody in here. He said, and the reason why you're going to need my spirit is because what I've called you to is going to attract an attack that you can't fight in your own power. You're going to need my spirit. Because what the devil is mad at, he's really not mad at you. He's mad with God for kicking him out. And whenever somebody can't take it out on you, they come after your children. So he's fighting you because he's really mad at God. But the Bible said no weapon
I need somebody formed against you shall be able to prosper. Just touch somebody on the shoulder and say, neighbor, I am hell proof, witchcraft proof, warfare proof, rain proof, wind proof. You know how I know? Cause I'm still standing. Ha! Lord, huh? I wish somebody, I feel a breakthrough over here for somebody. I talk about shot.
I'm still standing. He says, all right, be endowed with power from on high. He said, you're going to need this power because they're going to try to kill you. And I need you to have my spirit so you can keep going to church and serving me even with a broken heart. Has God ever broke your heart but showed you his strength through the break? You're like, God, I didn't even know I could survive that. You ought to just run down memory lane and think about how you kept functioning in brokenness. See, because there's a grace the Holy Ghost will put on you where you make suffering look easy. And people looking at you talking about, oh, you look good. They don't know. You almost lost your mind and your cool this week. They're talking about you sharp, but they don't know. You had to reach way in the back of the closet. Matter of fact, I'm dressed up to conceal how I'm really feeling. Tell somebody, don't go by what you see. On my worst day, I look my best. Jesus says, if I were hungry, I wouldn't even tell you. You got to know how to have two faces. You got to know how to have a face for the people. Come on, somebody. Smile. Worship. Y'all quiet in here. And then get in the car and cry. And say, Lord, I'm broken before you. But nay in all these things. I got on the both sides.
He said, you're going to need to have the Holy Ghost. Pass it down your road to three people. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost. He said, you're going to need to have the Holy Ghost. And so what happens is they become endowed with power. She all right. That's breakthrough happening. See, we're supposed to have breakthrough tonight, but tell your neighbor, you just got an early touch. Ah, trouble! I dare you to praise him for an early release. Everything coming is extra.
He said, you're going to need to be endowed with power. You're going to need power because the enemy is coming to attack the work, to attack your posture and your stance in me. You're going to need this strength to love enemies, to love the backstabber, to embrace people who love you publicly and run you down privately. Lord, have mercy. You're going to need this spirit to stabilize your emotions so you don't slap her when she looking at you. I'm sorry. So you don't roll up on him and punch him and knock him out. You're going to need Holy Ghost. Somebody say, Holy Ghost, activate. Activate, Holy Ghost. You're going to need this anointing. You're going to need this grace so you can mature in the faith. Because everything in you that's not in alignment with God, God's going to test it. See, some people are upset because you're being tested. You call it the devil. God said, I'm trying to buff you. Watch this. The only way God can get the you out of you he wants out of you is he assigns another you to you. And instead of getting mad and running somewhere else, stand still, y'all, and see the salvation of the Lord. Stand there and die. That's what fasting is. Fasting is, and consecration is death to that other you. Cause she wanna live. She wanna tell people off. And he wanna roll up and fight. And God said, no. Fast until she die. For 8 people in here right now that know you've been in a season where you've been challenged. I want you to look at somebody and tell them, I've been in a death walk. But tell them, by tonight, I feel resurrection. Ho! I feel somebody coming out like Lazarus. All of them all say, shout glory! Watch this, I gotta go. So, he said, wait till you be endowed with power. You're gonna need this. So, when you look at chapter number 12, here come Peter. Now, chapter number 12 is very interesting because in that first verse, hallelujah. Put up verse 2. I want you to see this. This is a little bit expository, but in Acts 12 and verse 2, look at what it says. And he killed James, the brother of John, with, waiting for the audio visual, sword. Thank you. And he killed, who killed? Herod. Now, I want you to see this. The church is under attack. James is not James, the brother of Jesus, but James, hallelujah, the brother of John. Here he is. He is with them. Now, this is the same James that went with Jesus to the mountain of transfiguration. Somebody say, same James. This is the same James that saw the miracles that Jesus performed. But same James, anointed James, powerful James, Holy Ghost filled James, dies. Because being anointed does not exempt you from trouble. We've sold some of you a false narrative that, oh, if you get in God, nothing will happen. No. Some of my greatest attacks came since I've been saved. James, the brother of John, with the sword, read the next verse, then says, and because he saw it please the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. Go to verse 4. And when he had apprehended him, he put him into prison. Now, I want you to see this. Because James dies in this prison. Peter lives in the same place James died. I want you to understand something. That there's some of you today who are living in a situation somebody else died in. That's why I can't come to church with my mouth closed. Cause I know this ain't nothing but the power of God. Cause somebody else went through depression just like you. Come on here. And they lost their mind. But for some reason, God let you live where other people die. I need you to just have a moment and think about what you almost didn't make it out of. Now praise him for that. Help. Cause somebody else didn't make it out. Somebody else shot themselves. Somebody else gave up on God. But you're still standing. Peter lives in the place that James died. And then verse 5 says, but Peter was therefore kept in prison, but
But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Now they were meeting at James's sister's house. Could you imagine the disappointment? I'm praying for someone to live through what my brother just died in.
You don't understand it. Because you can be so disappointed you don't want to pray. Oh, y'all don't hear me in here. But God uses your affliction to anoint you for somebody else's victory. Tell somebody, don't stop praying, don't stop praying. I wonder what would happen if the church would really lock into prayer. I'm not talking about in moments and in spurts. You know, we call for eating, everybody comes. We call for prayer and people, maybe, maybe not. But when we understand the necessity of prayer and the impact prayer has on demonic realms and principalities. The Bible said in Ephesians, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, rulers of darkness in high places. In other words, he said, what you're really dealing with is a spirit that don't want your family free, but you're the chain breaker, you're the curse breaker, you're the history maker. Lord have mercy. Shake somebody's hand and say, hey, hey, neighbor, the devil made a mistake and let me live, because I've been anointed to get my whole family out. Need some people in here that's standing in the gap for your family, standing in the gap for your children. Open up your mouth and shout, Jesus! Shout, Jesus! You gotta get your family out. You gotta get your children out. You gotta get your husband out. I know you say, God, why you? But you were born to bear this. Oh God, have mercy. Hallelujah. You were born to whip the enemy. That's why the devil tried to kill you. But you made it out of car accidents, failed relationships, disappointments, brokenness, despair, defeat. God have mercy. But look at you today, standing in God's house, saying, if it had not been for the Lord, who was on your side, well, somebody shout glory, shout glory again. Peter is in the jail, but prayer was made on his behalf. Grab somebody by the hand and say, oh neighbor, have I got news for you today? Tell him, I'm praying for your release. I'm praying for your deliverance. And when the righteous cry, the Lord hears him. Shout glory, shout glory, shout yeah. Peter was in jail, but while they were praying, an angel showed up in the jail. And I've come to tell about 39 of you that before the month is over, God is sending divine assistance. People you never seen before. A person that never knew you before. But their own assignment from God to bring you out of the pit you've been in. Point to somebody behind you and say, get ready, because I see angels coming to help you on your job, coming to help you in your home. Shout glory!
And now the Bible say that the angel got in the jail with him. He walked through the wall. And while Peter was there, the angel said, put your shoes on. Gird yourself together. Because we getting ready to break out of here. We getting ready to bust a move beyond Satan's reach. And the Bible says that four quadrants of soldiers, that's four times four. Why are you so upset with me that you put 16 men to stop one person? That's because Herod heard about your God, and he knows that you got greater on you this year. Point to somebody and say, I'm sorry to inform you that when people can't bring you down, they'll try to get more with them to try to keep you bound up. But no weapon formed against you. When you lift your hands, the chains just fell off. When you stomp your feet, the fetters just broke off. Somebody shout glory! Peter now comes out of there. And when Peter comes out of the prison, the Bible said they passed the soldiers. And when they come out of the prison, they come to the iron gate. And I'm getting ready to go, but I hear the Lord say this would be the year. Not for doors, because doors bring you into rooms, but gates bring you into new territory. Gates bring you into new regions. Look at somebody and tell them, you don't need the keys this year, because you're walking with the key. I wish I had a witness in here. Tell them again, you don't need the keys. You're walking with the key. His name is Jesus. I thought I had an old school church. I got to close here. But lean on somebody and tell them, Jesus is all I need. You gonna buy a house on Jesus. You gonna pay off your car on Jesus. You gonna be debt free on Jesus. He said, because when your name is not good enough, he said, take my name and put my name on it. Say I, Lord. I got to close. But Peter comes through the gates and knocks on the house of the prayer meeting. And I gotta tell somebody tonight, today, as I get ready to go out of here, that God said your answer just got released. Go find somebody you haven't talked to for the second to the last time and say, oh neighbor, tell them, I know you've been praying. I know you've been crying. I know you've been waiting on God. But tell them, I got good news. Straight out of the prison, what you were praying for, you didn't tell them. I said, tell them what you've been praying for. Just escaped with a clean getaway. And when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, somebody praise him now. Your answer just got loose. Somebody praise him now. Your healing just got released. Somebody praise him now. Your miracle just got released. Say yeah. Shout somebody hand for the last time and tell him, get ready for the next next 12 days, all you will do is win, win, win. Thought I had a church in here. I said all you will do is rise to the top and let the Lord know any way you bless me, I'll be satisfied. Say, shout glory. Praise Him for the release. Let me see which side is getting ready to come through a gate. The gate just opened. Shout like you believe it. Shout like you receive it. Ask somebody, say, have you heard the latest? Peter just got out. Now, Peter to you could be a plethora of things. Here's to Revelation. And I'm really done, Pastor. Why did God let Peter live and James die? Somebody say, why? I'm glad you asked. He let James die, but Peter live because Peter had a prophecy over his head. What was the prophecy? Jesus says, upon this rock, I'm gonna build eternal and the gates of hell shall not. I come to tell everybody here, there's a prophecy over your head. You're gonna live to see it happen. I said, there's a prophecy over your head. Your whole family is getting ready to ship. I said, there's a prophecy over your head. God's getting ready to use you mightily. I said, there's a prophecy over your head. God's getting ready to turn things around for you. Look at somebody, look at somebody, look at somebody and tell them, oh neighbor, the reason why you can't die yet, because there's a word over your life. You're gonna live to see it happen. You're gonna live to see it happen. You're gonna live to see it happen. So what we're gonna do is live, 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 live. Oh, Sheba Hatia Maha. Now, when I said that death, premature death, just left somebody's family. I want you to understand that prayer can shift anything. It can pull on the heartbeat of God. Now, some of you today, you said, preacher, I believe God has released answered prayer this morning. And you said, today, I'm ready to receive the answer. Come near this altar quick.